This is Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. I'm Levi. With me sits Lisa and Travis. And today we're going to continue talking about what we've been talking about kind of all summer, this idea of roller coasters. And so you guys all know that I have a great fear of roller coasters, and I don't really like them that much, but there is one that I enjoy, and it's called the Batman. It's at Six Flags in Gurnee, Illinois. I think it's at all of the Six Flags, but that's the one that I've ridden. And the first time I rode it, it was a little scary, and you're strapped in, your feet are dangling, and you don't go inside the loops, you go outside the loops. It's pretty cool. But I rode that thing, and it was so smooth, and I think that's what I liked about it. It was really smooth. It didn't jostle you around, but it was really fun. But when I got off of the thing, I was a little bit dizzy. And so I'm walking along, and I'm holding on to the stanchions that are kind of exiting this thing. And as soon as I let go of those things, I basically lose my balance. And I almost tackled a garbage can. I knocked it over. Everyone's laughing. And as I think about that story, I think about our life with God. Walking with Jesus is much like being on a roller coaster. It's somewhat predictable, but you got to keep your eyes on the track. And it's somewhat scary, but you're pretty secure in the midst of this. You're harnessed in, and yet he's calling you to do something, or you've taken a step of faith to walk with him and to do these things. It's a lot like a roller coaster. The problem is we often get off of the roller coaster where we've said yes to Jesus, and then we get off of the roller coaster. And there's various reasons that we get off of the roller coaster. One is we just stop believing and we stumble off and we're like, nope, not doing that anymore. And we're done. And that's someone who's lost. That the Bible describes that as someone who, you know, they've accepted the gospel. It talks about different seeds that were planted, and it swept away for some reason. I think there's other ways that we get off of the road or off of the coaster. And one of them is being a cultural Christian. We've ridden the roller coaster. We kind of talk about the roller coaster a little bit, but yeah, there's lots of other roller coasters that we could possibly ride in our minds. There's the philosophical roller coasters that we could ride. And so we may jump on one of those for a little bit, but we'll say we're a follower of Jesus if someone really asked us, but there's nothing in our life that shows that we're on the roller coaster of Jesus. And then the third one is kind of the Christian who is, they've been riding the roller coaster for a long time, and they get off, and all they do is talk about the roller coaster. They never ride the roller coaster. They just talk about the roller coaster. They want to have big theological discussions about the roller coaster. They want to do things of that nature instead of riding the roller coaster with Jesus. Like every day, walking in line with the Spirit, or trying to at least, and really anticipating that. It is the very best thing is when you're in the roller coaster, you're on the roller coaster, and you're just enjoying the ride. Maybe scared out of your mind, and we all ride it maybe a little bit differently. I'm not putting up my hands ever. I'm holding on like crazy. But some people have a little bit more freedom in that, but you're riding the roller coaster. And I think God calls us to continue to walk by the Spirit. And the passage of scripture there we're going to be looking at today is found in Romans chapter 8. And in Romans chapter 7, Paul talks about himself getting off and stumbling off the roller coaster. He says, I do not do what I want to do. I do what I don't want to do type of a thing. And then he starts this thing off and he says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And so what we want to talk about today is this idea of how do you stay strapped in to the roller coaster? How do you stay strapped into the Spirit of the living God? The first thing is understanding that you need a savior. I don't know why I can't say that word, savior. And so once you're in Christ, there is no condemnation for you, for those who are in Christ. So it's not about just following rules. It's not just about learning more things about God. It's something else that's in there.
Well, and that's like you mentioned about the previous chapter, chapter 7, Paul's talking about all the law and sin. And in chapter 8 now, we're seeing this the blessings of walking with the Spirit in this new covenant because of what Christ did. And that no condemnation for those who live in Christ Jesus is huge, because the previous way was all the stop, no's, don'ts, all the rules, the do-do passage.
It was behavior.
Yeah, it was behavior-driven. Now, this is life-driven. This is life application. This is walking with God and the freedom that you have in God's Spirit living in you because of what Christ accomplished on the cross. So it's this whole perspective change.
Yeah, I think that first passage really says, it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Shockingly, Christianity is about Christ and being in him and abiding in him. John 15 talks about abiding in him, or keeping on walking with him, or being on the roller coaster with him, however you want to think about that. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Why is the question? Because it's not about your personal performance. It's not about your goodness, but his goodness. It's not about your righteousness, but his righteousness. It's not about your worthiness, but his. It's not about your holiness, but about his. And so the Christian life is really about Christ.
Yeah, and that's where verse 2 heads into, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. And so Paul ties that in super good. He was a pretty smart guy in how he communicated. But there's that freedom. And we so often, I think, associate a life connected with Christ or religion as just a bunch of rules to follow. You know, you've got to walk this narrow path. And it's still that idea of you have to earn it. It's about your behavior. But Paul's flipping everything upside down.
Yeah, you're probably off the roller coaster at that point.
For sure.
You're off the roller coaster. Because it's not about just the rules. Now, God has set precepts. He set things out there that we're moving toward as we're walking with Jesus and those types of things. But it's not about just behaving. You don't want your kids just to behave. Or maybe you do. I don't know. Sometimes that's all I want. That's all I'm hoping for is for them to behave. But it's you want them, you're raising them in a way to actually know why and how and what to do in the situation when you're not there. And what's the next right thing to do? It's not just about, you know, don't watch TV today or don't do this.
Yeah, I was just thinking about your metaphor of the roller coaster and the descriptions of who we are when we live in the Spirit. And there's when we're on the roller coaster, if we're actually riding the Batman and we're plugged into the Batman, that actually is my favorite roller coaster. It's the only one that I'll go on as well. And when you're plugged into it, there's a certain level of restriction to the roller coaster, right? I mean, you want to be strapped in. Mm-hmm. You want to be in the ride. And as you do that, you have great fun on the ride and you experience all sorts of really fun things. And the same is true, I would say, of the description here of Romans 8. Yeah, there's not a lot of rules that we're asked of. There's not a lot of rigid rules. But what we do find when we are strapped into Jesus, when we are walking in the Spirit, is we find, I mean, the first 12 verses of chapter Romans chapter 8 indicate that we find freedom and we find life and we find peace and we find belonging. All of those are found in the security net or the safety of the ride that is Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I like, because Paul isn't like abdicating your responsibility to live a life in pursuit of Christ. Say you could say to live a holy life, but he's saying that you have the power, you have that safety, that authority, like the harness in this thing to do that. Like the Batman ride would be no fun without the harness, right? That one goes upside down. You'd be in trouble. Same with our life. If we don't have that harness, that life connected to Jesus, we're going to fall.
Yeah.
You're like, going to fall anyway, but yeah.
Verse 3, he says, for what the law was powerless to do, it was weakened by the flesh. God did. And that's the optimal word in Christianity or the Christian life. It's not It's not due. The optimal word in the Christian life is done. And Christ did something for us. He did an amazing thing for us. And we recognize that, and we're strapped into that. We're connected to the vine, as John 15 says. But what the law did is it basically said, here's the track. Good luck. And like, I'm not walking on a track up on that. Like, I'm not climbing over that thing. I'm like, no way, that's not going to happen. And I think that's how we think sometimes about Christianity, is it's about all these rules, and we're just like, we're left to our own demise. And it's not that at all. It's really this idea that we are to ride it with the security of the Spirit leading and guiding and creating the tracks. It's God's ride in his tracks.
Yeah, I was just wondering, you said something interesting at the beginning about the people who just talk about the ride, but they don't actually get on, or they're not on the ride. And I'm wondering what the difference is between just talking about the ride and sharing the story of the ride. It seems to me there's something different about that, because there's a lot of people who are on the ride and are talking all the time about the ride. You know what I mean? Like, isn't there part of being on the ride that is continually retelling the story of the ride?
I think so. But like, if you're on a roller coaster, you're not going, I don't think you're shouting out and going, well, look at the darkness over there. Look at those people eating funnel cakes and getting fat. you're not doing that. You're like, woo! You're proclaiming the light. You're proclaiming the light. You're not worried about all those other things that the people that aren't on the ride. And I think where we get confused is that that's the beauty of it, is you're on the ride with God. And I think those people that you're talking about that get off and start talking about the ride, it's not that they've never been on the ride. They've been on the ride, but they began to talk about the ride because they're living this past experience out. But they're not riding it daily. And God's like, no, stay on this thing. Is it, what's the amusement park in Green Bay?
Like Bay Amusement.
Yeah, Bay Amusement Park. That roller coaster there.
The old rickety wooden one.
Yeah, Elvis Presley. They brought it. It was Elvis Presley's favorite roller coaster. He rented it was down south somewhere. I don't know exactly where it was, but there's a little storyboard there. And he rode that thing like 39 times, and he rented the thing out, and he just kept going, shoom, shoom, shoom. And I think that's really a picture of what God calls us. Just keep riding it every day. Keep riding it with me. Keep every day. My mercies are new for you. And even if you try to get off a little bit, jump back on. Come back with me. It'll be awesome. And then you can scream and yell and proclaim how awesome I am.
What happens when you get off the ride? Do you always stumble and fall? You know what I'm saying? Your description at the beginning was you got off the ride and you fell and you made a big mess of your face or whatever in the trash cans.
The trash cans, yeah. No, I don't think you always do, but I think you imagine that sometimes you still think you're on the ride. You ever feel like you ever get off one of the rides and you still feel like you're riding it? But the reality is you're not on the ride. The reality is you're not on the ride. And I think that's one of the things that happens. I think that's how you get cultural Christians. They experience the ride at one point again, but they're kind of riding this thing out, and looking back at the past experience, and they think they're still on the ride, but they're really not on the ride. I think both of those last two think they're on the ride. The ones who stumble, I think often are often, I think you can stumble for a while. There's a fade away. And you can stumble and fall and trip, and that's what the seventh chapter is about. But you're still going, wait, I need to get back on the ride. I think those who go, man, I'm never going on that ride again. Look how dizzy it made me. I think that's where you have the ones that are just lost. So,
I think that passage continues on kind of in that vein. Verse 5, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds on set what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. And that's what we're talking about. Like, you're on that roller coaster. Maybe you're not even in the cart. You're not harnessed in. You're trying to climb the track. That's hard. You ride it once and you're all excited about it. That's great. But then you're going to lose sight of the fun. Like, because walking with Jesus can be super fun. I mean, we've all got experiences that we can recount on that. But if you've gotten off the ride and you're just worried about, like, well, that post was put in and that concrete base of it, you know, is 15 inches, whatever, in diameter, and you're so focused on the composition of it, you lose that joy and that excitement that's part of that ride with Jesus.
Yeah, I think God gives us a new track, right? Because our old track is sin, and our old track is, it always leads to death. It's like, you know, it's like the cartoon when they're on the choo-choo track and they're cruising along, and you know it's coming to an end. And they're trying to figure out how they're going to get off this thing and whatever. The reality is, if you are not following Jesus, the Bible says that you're on that track, and that track will lead to death. It'll lead to death. You're gonna go into the big ravine. You're gonna explode. That's what the Bible says. And Jesus, what he does is he comes and gives us a new track. He gives us this way of living here and now, but also in the future. And the rest of the chapter talks about the future and those types of things at the end of it. But he gives us this new track, and it changes the very nature of the track that we're on. It's not a bunch of new rules. It's a new track, and it's not change a little behavior, but it's like a whole new way of life. It's a whole new way of living. But it's not about rules. It's about a relationship with God. It's about being strapped in. It's about being connected. It's about being on this ride with him.
Well, it's like the rickety old roller coaster track that's all wooden, and it's like a train track, that bay one.
Yeah.
Versus Batman, which is one of those big steel posts. I mean, that one looks way more secure.
Yep.
And way more smooth. And those rides, you're not getting chucked around side to side on the Batman ride. You're harnessed in. You're ready to go. It's still scary. Still fun. There's still the loop-de-loops and the whoopity-woos, but it's different.
Yeah, there's other rides in this world.
Yeah.
There's other ways that you can go, but they always lead to death. And Jesus comes in and he gives us, we don't buy the ticket. We don't do anything for the ticket, but he gives us a ticket to this relational ride with God. If it was just about following the rules, why would we need Jesus? We don't need a ticket. If it's just a follow the rules, you get on the ride. That's not how it works. And I think when we think about Christianity as religion in that sense of just following rules, we actually are missing the ride that God has called us into.
Well, yeah. And later on in Romans 12, 1 and 2, a really, you know, familiar passage for many people, gives us, I guess, this process that you're talking about that doesn't look like rules, but actually looks like a total life change, total transformation, right? It says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Don't be conformed to this world, right? Don't get on that ride, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, but that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. And I like that by virtue of the mercies of God, as we understand the great love of God, as we get on the ride, the rules become far less important, right? It isn't really about rules at all. It's about understanding what God has done for us and then living in that reality. And that is ultimately transforming. It is a totally different way of life. And it isn't adding rules to our practices, but it actually is a new life.
Yeah. Well, to go along with that, verse 7 says, the mind governed by the flesh is hostile toward God. It's hostile to the ride. That's a stupid ride. I'm not doing that. Right? It's, you know, it's a crutch ride, or it's a kiddie ride. It's, you know, lots of different excuses, and it's hostile toward the ride that God has actually designed you for and wants you to ride with him. And it does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. And you're not even on the ride with God. You're off of that ride, and you're into a totally different thing. You're following the ways of the world. So we receive God's peace through grace, and I think you also talked about that, and it's not about earning. Jesus buys our ticket. He gives us that ride, and the purpose of walking with the Spirit is to learn more about who Jesus is. And when we learn who Jesus is, we learn who the Father is, and we understand and we begin to walk with them, and we're focused on this life that is filled with Jesus. It's not about, again, it's not about these rules. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus says, "Seek first the kingdom of God." And it's basically like, what does God have next for me? It's like looking, if you're on a roller coaster and you're not kind of looking ahead and you're kind of going like this. I've done this before, and it like whaps your head over because you don't know the turn. Have you ever been on Space Mountain where it's all dark in there? I hate those things because you can't see what's next in front of you. It's violent. It's a violent ride. And so or vile ride could be that too. You look forward to what the Spirit, and you ask what's next. Maybe it's a curve. Maybe it's a twist. Maybe it's a loop-de-loop. And I think God kind of, as we walk with the Spirit, He gives us the direction of the track.
Well, yeah, that also sort of speaks to your analogy of the people looking for the funnel cakes too. There is a sense that if you're not watching the track, if you're not looking straight ahead, right? If you're not watching the track and where God is taking you, and you become so distracted with what everybody else is doing on the ground, I mean, it's really hard to stay on the ride without puking. I mean, that's a rough situation to be looking around on a roller coaster.
Yep. In verse 9, it says, "You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. You're on the ride with Jesus. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ." So they're actually not on the ride if you're not with the Spirit of Christ. It goes on and says, "But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin," your body's going to die, "the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who has raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you." And so it's this life to the full that Jesus promises in John 10:10, and it's this picture of what God wants for us and it desires for us as we ride that roller coaster, as we say yes to Jesus. And you don't say yes to Jesus. You say yes to Jesus and you begin to follow Him, but you say yes to Jesus every day. Every day you get on that roller coaster. And you go, "Man, I need this today. I need to know what you want from me. I need to ride this thing with you." And if you do that, you are more human than you've ever been in that moment, because you're in relationship with God. You're in relationship to your Creator, which was always your design. That is good news you can use.
Hey, thanks for hanging out with us this week. If you've got any questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. You can email those to travis@evangelup.org. If you'd like to catch up on any of the previous Pearls and Swine episodes here on Good News You Can Use, you can search out Evangel Houghton on your preferred podcast device and platform. And you can always find those at evangelup.org.